Free speech is especially important on campus because campuses are meant to be the ultimate marketplace of ideas in a free society.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Robert Shibley, Executive Director of the Foundation for Individual Rights in Higher Education, or FIRE. And he's going to be talking with us about ways that we can help ensure freedom of speech for Christian students and for all students, for that matter, on our college and university campuses. His organization's mission is to defend and sustain individual rights at America's colleges and universities, including freedom of speech and religious liberty. Robert, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Thanks very much for having me.
Well, it's great to have you with us today. Now, Robert, I want to start our conversation by asking you to define, if you would, what we mean by free speech on campus and why it is such a critical part of the academic environment for students, for professors, and other staff as well.
Well, free speech is especially important on campus because campuses are meant to be the ultimate marketplace of ideas in a free society. Campuses are intended to be, and they're supposed to function as the place where students who are, you know, young adults, but adults who have the right to vote, have the right to participate in our democracy, get to discuss all of the things that interest them. And they also get to discuss visions or opinions that might end up, might end up being erroneous. They might end up deciding are wrong later, but they need to be allowed to be wrong in order for them to truly get a classically liberal education. You need to be able to explore not just whether or not you're right according to what other people believe, but why you're right. You need to believe your own beliefs, not just as a prejudice because people tell you they're right, but because you've actually thought through it and that you now actually have reasons for believing the things that you do. If you don't do that, you're not having education, you're having propaganda, and that's what's happening on all too many campuses today.
So what we're really talking about is intellectual honesty, having the college and university campuses be a free speech zone, so to speak, so that students are free to explore thoughts, ideas, and do so in an environment that's conducive to the growth of intellect.
That's right. And, you know, we hear these days a lot about safe spaces on campus. People say, oh, it's not safe for people of a certain race or gender or what have you. But I think we need to be more concerned, if anything, about whether or not it's actually safe to disagree, whether or not it's safe to be wrong on campus. And by safe, I mean actually students are regularly put on campus trial and threatened with the loss of their education and disruption of their careers for saying or thinking and expressing the wrong thing on campus.
Well, in addition to safe zones, so to speak, we also hear a term of speech code. What is a speech code on a college campus, and is this a good thing or a bad thing for a university to have in place?
Well, it's a bad thing. What FIRE classifies as speech codes is any regulation that goes further than the Constitution would allow on public campuses or a private institution's own promises of free speech would allow on private institutions, which, by the way, are not bound by the First Amendment. And those don't have to be labeled speech code, and they actually very rarely are. They're often found in places like sexual harassment codes, racial harassment codes, generally anything with the word harassment in it. You see it in policies on the usage of email. You can see it in demonstration policies. I can't tell you how many times we've had cases where students are actually stopped simply from handing out pamphlets, which is one of the most heavily protected things you can do in the United States. So a speech code is any regulation that compromises those rights.
Now, I noticed that North Carolina did not appear this year on FIRE's list of the top 10 worst colleges for free speech, which is good news. Tell us about the schools that did make the worst list and why.
Well, I think, first of all, I think it is really good news that the University of North Carolina did not appear on the list this year. And in fact, UNC Chapel Hill is actually a green light school, which means we rate speech codes on a red light, yellow light, green light scheme, for red light being the most restrictive and the most unlawful if it's a public university. Green, of course, having no such restrictions. And we were happy that in 2015, we were able to work with the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill to eliminate all of their speech codes. So they're now one of only about 25, I think, speech code-free universities out of the 430 we rate.
Interesting. Well, what were some of the schools that did make that list?
Well, you have a lot, unfortunately, a lot more choices when it comes to the 10 worst colleges for free speech. One of the ones that really made a lot of news recently was Mount St. Mary's University, which is a small university in Maryland. And in that case, the president there actually summarily fired a professor and the newspaper's faculty advisor after they reported on something that he had said. He had said, and this made a lot of national news, that they needed to be more brutal about cutting out students very early on who they thought couldn't do the work. And he said, "You think of the students as cuddly bunnies, but you just have to drown the bunnies and put a Glock to their heads." Mm. And so, by reporting these things, which he doesn't deny that he said, the student newspaper apparently upset him, and his punishment for that was firing the two professors who were involved in that situation. Ultimately, that led to a lot of backlash because it seemed so unjust, and in fact was unjust, and now it's actually the president who ended up resigning.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
Well, Robert, you've talked a little bit about the rating system that you use, the green light, yellow light, and red light system. Explain, if you would, and maybe give some examples of the specific university policies that you look at when you are determining a school's rating.
Well, like I said, we often look first to harassment policies because those very often impinge on speech, because harassment, of course, is a course of action that can include expression that rises to a level where it's no longer lawful. Most speech in the United States is protected by the First Amendment. Even unpleasant speech, even speech by people like the Westboro Baptist Church, for instance, or the Ku Klux Klan, is protected speech. But when that rises to a level of harassment, when it's targeted and discriminatory, and it is severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive to somebody who's trying to get an education, then it does, in fact, stop having First Amendment protection. Unfortunately, a lot of universities aren't very careful about what they consider to be harassment. So, for instance, a few years ago at Davidson College, I know they supposedly banned, and of course I say supposedly because there's no way they were enforcing this, but the use of terms like girl, boy, honey, dunk, honey, hunk, doll, sweetie, and other terms like that, and just deem those to be harassment. Now, I don't believe for one minute that Davidson was going around, finding everybody who did that and punishing them. But unfortunately, what these policies do is they make everyone a lawbreaker in the eyes of the campus authorities. Everybody has broken a rule. And so if they want to punish someone for saying something politically incorrect, for believing an unpopular belief, they've always got something that they can fine them and punish them for. It reminds me of the famous founder, basically, of the KGB, who famously said, "You show me the man and I'll find you the crime." And that's how almost every university with these red light speech codes operates. There's always a crime. If they want to get the man or the woman, they can always find some reason to do so.
It sounds like political correctness just run amok.
Well, it is. A lot of people sort of thought that political correctness died after, really coming into disrepute back in the early 90s. But in fact, it was institutionalized sort of under other names. But if anything, political correctness, and I think people are recognizing that now again, because it does seem to have come to another head of ridiculousness these days. People are recognizing that, political correctness is back. It's an interesting development, because FIRE, for a long time, FIRE's 16 years old, and at the beginning of FIRE's existence, we had to do a lot of arguing, letting people know that, by the way, there is still political correctness, folks. People get in trouble for what they say. We weren't believed. Now everybody believes us.
Now, we've talked a little bit about that there were no North Carolina colleges in the top 10 worst campus lists, but before we talk about a few specific schools in North Carolina, in general, how are North Carolina colleges and universities doing when it comes to the issue of free speech on campus? How does our state compare to others?
North Carolina is actually better than most other states. I don't think we rated it by states in our last report, but I know 2 years ago, North Carolina, I believe, was the third best state. So you would get that from dividing the number of schools that we rate by the number of schools that have red lights. And I would expect North Carolina to be similarly good this year because University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill has eliminated its last speech codes. Now, other you know, universities are increasingly eliminating their speech codes, thanks a lot to FIRE's pushing into a lawsuit and litigation program that we initiated a couple years back. And for the first time last year, since we'd started rating 8 years ago, less than half of schools that we rate have red light speech codes, and we rate most of them, 430 schools across the country, wow, including all the biggest and most prestigious. Our first year it was 79%, so now it's down to 49%, wow, and that's a big improvement. But of course, you know, that does mean that 49% of schools are still flagrantly violating the law, and the yellow light schools are also quite arguably violating the Constitution as well. In fact, they probably are, but it's not quite as severe.
Well, interesting. I noticed that East Carolina University in Greenville, North Carolina, is one of the schools rated with a red light on FIRE's database. Why is that?
Well, it's actually, it goes right to their harassment policy, as is the usual custom here, and it's their definition of sexual harassment that's problematic. ECU says that sexual harassment is conduct of a sexual nature that includes unwelcome sexual advances, requests for sexual favors, jokes about sex or sexual orientation, other verbal, nonverbal, physical conduct of a sexual nature, and creating a hostile environment. The problem here is that is so vague and overbroad that, number one, it's too vague to understand. Other verbal conduct of a sexual nature, what does that even include? I mean, does that include asking someone out on a date? They mentioned sexual orientation. Does that mean, opposition or support, for that matter, of gay marriage? We've seen, that be, bandied about as sexual harassment before. So when you have something this broad, nobody can figure out what it means. And also, we know that it touches a lot of speech if you just read its own terms that is protected.
Well, being a Tar Heel myself, I was encouraged to hear what you shared earlier with our listeners, that UNC Chapel Hill has been rated a green light. Tell us a little bit more beyond just the elimination of speech codes. What is UNC Chapel Hill doing well that other universities in the state could learn from?
Well, the main thing that distinguished UNC Chapel Hill was after years and years of going back and forth with FIRE about their policies, we actually have had more cases, and by FIRE, when we say cases, we mean sort of incidents that come to FIRE, not necessarily legal cases.
Right, right.
But we've had more cases with UNC Chapel Hill than with many, many other schools. It used to be a sort of a Christmas tradition for us, as a matter of fact. I think 2 or 3 years in a row, Chapel Hill would make a blunder, and we would have to call them on it around the Christmas season. But I guess the leadership has changed, and maybe attitudes have changed a little bit as well. Now we're really happy that the current people in office there have come to FIRE and decided to work with us instead of running over and over, right up against the Constitution. And so that's really, FIRE, we actually employ two full-time attorneys, from an Ivy League school, just to work with colleges and universities for free, of course, to change their policies. FIRE is a charity. There's a lot of people out there. There's actually a whole industry of folks who charge a lot of money to try to, work on university policies. We do it for free, and we try to get you compliant with the Constitution, and so we're always looking for more schools to do that, and I would invite any school at the University of North Carolina system or a private school to call us up, and we're happy to work with you.
Well, that's great, and as opposed to creating an adversarial relationship, if the university and college leadership can come together with FIRE and work together, then there's certainly some positive ground that could be made there. Well, finally, Robert, if a student, professor, or other staff person on a college or university campus feels that they're academic freedom or free speech rights have been infringed upon, what would you recommend that they do?
Well, I would recommend they visit FIRE's website at thefire.org. We may have answers for you on the website, and if not, please submit a case or a question to us, and we'll try to help.
Robert Shibley, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this week on Family Policy Matters to talk about academic freedom on college campuses, and for your important work defending free speech rights for students, professors, and other staff on campuses nationwide.
Well, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. a production of NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.